watching a video for the service today. This is the first time we've done this in at least 10 years, and so I would like to set the stage for this video. When I go to our Vineyard National Conference, I always look for something that I feel like might be a message for our church. And I heard a talk by a woman named Aisha that was called Less Trying, More Dying. And I knew that we were going to do this series, and I thought that talk was perfect for this series. Well, it turns out the Vineyard released most of the talks, but this one did not get released until this week. And Sandy Knutson found that, and we're going to watch it today. The heart of this talk is the idea, which we're really investing in this series, that a lot of Christian discipleship happens when we let go of the stuff that is hurting our lives, especially stuff that we carry from childhood. It's like a lot of us just want to try harder to do good now, but what we actually need to do is face the stuff that we've been through and let go of the sinful patterns that we've welcomed into our life to survive the stuff that we've gone through. And so, less trying to be a good person, more dying to the old self or the false self or the sinful self that holds you back. And so we're going to listen to her talk. I'll come up afterwards. I'll do an introduction for the worship team and for ministry time. On that note, let's hear what Aisha has to say to us.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm tired. Are you a little tired? Yeah, all right. Woke you up, made you tired at the same time. I want to remind you of how we're trying to spend these days together. Just to remind you what we're doing now, what we'll be doing in the afternoon. Seed and soil. So these mornings, we're trying to focus and pay attention to the way that God prepares our hearts to receive the good things of the kingdom. And so we have different devotional speakers are speaking. Then we'll see a little video from John Mark Comer. But I'm really excited to introduce our speaker this morning because I don't know. We had our speakers share a bit of what they were going to say ahead of time. So we got little videos and audios. We got to read some of what they were doing so we could pray along with them and nudge them gently if we thought they should say something differently. But I got to hear Aisha share by way of a video in her writing, and I it's just like a little iPhone video. And as I watched her sharing what she's going to share with you, I was impacted greatly by the Lord. So, anyway, gosh, I'm such a crybaby. I'm very, very excited to have you hear what she wants to share because I think the Lord is going to sow something and turn the soil of our hearts over this morning for what he wants to do throughout this whole day. Aisha Oyarakwa. Yeah, okay, I kept doing it until I got it right. She's a Compassion and Justice Coordinator at the Valley Vineyard Church in Reseda, California. She serves as a Compassion and Justice Specialist with Vineyard USA Missions and is also a practicing attorney in California, specializing in civil litigation. So this is a serious person. And so would you please welcome her as she shares with us this morning.
Are you excited to be here this morning? Yes. I'm not convinced. Let's try that again. Are you excited to be here this morning? All right. I'm going to say a quick prayer and then we'll start. Jesus, you're in this place. Lord, let the words that I speak this morning accomplish only your intended purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, my devotion is going to be in form of a personal story, testimony. Do I have your permission? Can I testify this morning? Okay. Well, first, I'd like to pose a question. What if spiritual maturity and freedom in Christ is found not by trying, but by dying? In other words, what if experiencing a deeper life of God within us requires more dying and less trying? Jesus said in Luke 9:23 that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. A cross in Jesus' day was an instrument of death. So Jesus was giving us a word picture here of the concept of death to self. Now, when it comes to, I'll be the first to admit that when it comes to dying to self, it's easier said than done. It's actually a painful process. Dying to self is something that we Christians find hard to do. Yet this is one thing that Jesus insisted upon if we truly want to be his disciples. If you pay close attention to the words of Jesus and basically all of Scripture, it implies that each of us has two different selves. There's the self that needs to die, which is the false self, and then there's the self that needs to come alive, which is the true self. And if you're not familiar with the false self, it's not just a term in modern psychology. It's actually rooted in Scripture. It's another way of referring to what the Bible calls the old man and the new man, or the old creation and the new creation. If we're not intentional about dying to our false self, we will have great difficulty allowing Jesus to lead us into a deeper life of wholeness and maturity. Speaking of maturity, the Vineyard Movement is 50. Well, I thought you guys would be more excited about that. I know that getting old is not easy, but we're 50. And 50 is not exactly young nowadays. I'm not 50. Those of you who are 50 and over, those of you who are 50 and over would agree with me that there are some things that you did when you were 20 that you can no longer do at 50. As a movement, are we still trying to do things that we did when we were 20? Are there things that need to die for other things to come alive? More dying, less trying. You know, yesterday we sang that amazing worship song that says, God of our mothers and fathers, come be our God, come take the vineyard you planted and make us new wine. Make us new wine. But new wine requires new wineskin. Are we still using our old playbook strategies from like 20, 30, or even 50 years ago? More dying, less trying. Speaking of desiring new wine, have you ever desired and tried to get closer to God, but you could not? And it's not because you were not praying enough or studying your Bible enough or just spending time with God enough, but because of deep-rooted hurt and pain from the past. I found myself in that very place about 5 years ago. And as I prayed about it, I felt like the Lord was inviting me into this process of dying to myself in certain areas of my life. In other words, more dying, less trying. One of the things that came up for me during this process was that I do not grieve my pain, my losses, and my discomfort in a healthy way. You know, I grew up in a culture where there was really no space to talk about or process feelings and emotions. Also, authority figures in my life prevented me from showing my pain. So when things happen, I learned to just suck it up, move on very quickly. While that strategy helped get me through that season of life, unconsciously I carried that into adulthood. Have you ever had something from your childhood affect the way you show up in life as an adult? Okay, it's not just me. So I became very good in minimizing and hiding my pain from people. I also was not processing my pain and my losses with the Lord, which includes, but it's not limited to, losing both of my parents suddenly, losing a friendship with someone who I considered my best friend for over 25 years, losing some of my dreams and aspirations, having an ongoing medical issue that limits me in certain areas of my life, experiencing injustice, disappointments, rejection, and the list goes on. And I'm sure that many of you here, at some point in your life, you've also experienced pain from devastating losses, like losing a loved one, losing a lifelong career, a divorce, broken friendships, a change in the leadership of your church, a change in the, changes in the Vineyard movement, or even COVID and its impact in your life. You know, our Western culture places a very high value on the need to keep up appearances and just continue going in life no matter what. And so many of us do not really stop to acknowledge our losses and to deal with our pain. Or we look for spiritual shortcuts around them. In his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Peter Scazzaro said, "When we do not process before God the very feelings that make us human, such as fear or sadness or anger, we leak. Our churches are filled with leaking Christians who have not treated their emotions as a discipleship issue. Learning to welcome and hold sorrow and grief before the Lord is essential to the work of discipleship. It is impossible to grow in spiritual maturity without it." What about you? Is that pain, loss, hurt, or discomfort that you're holding on to? Would you consider giving that to the Lord? You know, pain can propel us into wholeness and maturity if we give it to the Lord. More dying, less trying. My journey of learning to grieve my losses and my pain in a healthy way has been hard. For lack of a better word, the way I explain it to my spiritual director is like, it feels like an excavation process. Just like digging up stuff that's been buried for years and years, many of which I did not want to revisit. So it was painful for a long time before I started seeing some positive results. But about 2 years into that process, something interesting happened. So there's a Spanish bilingual church that meets at our church building. This is not a Vineyard church. The pastor, senior pastor of the church who planted the church and led the church for over 40 years, died suddenly. Pastor preached on Monday. On Sunday, he died on Monday. So as you can imagine, the congregation, they were devastated. So I know some of the leaders and the pastor's wife who co-pastored the church with her husband, they decided to meet on Wednesday during the week to just pray and grieve together. So I went there to support them. I got there, probably about 200 people showed up in the room. I sat behind, and then I noticed that the pastor's wife was sitting behind. So I went over to her. I don't speak Spanish. She doesn't speak English, so we couldn't really communicate verbally, but I just hugged her and wept with her. But not too long after, one of the leaders came up to me and said, you know, they didn't really have an agenda for the meeting. They just wanted to worship, but they would appreciate if I can come up and give a word of encouragement to the congregation. I was surprised because I've never preached at that church. Most of the members do not know me, and they were hurting and grieving. And I just didn't think that I was the person they want to hear from, and I didn't have anything prepared as well. I was getting ready to give them this excuse when the Holy Spirit told me that I was prepped, that the Lord has been working on me on this issue of pain and loss for over 2 years. So I went up and I gave the word that the Lord put on my heart, and I believe that it was well received. After that, even though they have about 3 pastors on staff, they reached out to me and said if I would consider doing a series for them on just navigating grief and loss. Isn't that interesting? Me, who could not process my own grief. Honestly, this was not something that I was super excited to do because it's an area of my life that I'm still working on. And it just felt like an invitation to more dying and less trying. But I did the series, and they asked me to do another series, and another series, and another series, and it's been over a year, and I'm still preaching at their midweek services. And I've really seen God walk through, it's humbling to see God walk through those teachings to expand their theology in certain areas. And they told me this is an area that we struggle with culturally. Also, I've also grown personally just from doing those teachings. And because I walked with them through a very painful and vulnerable season, it also helped me to be more vulnerable and honest about my own pain. I truly believe that responding to God's invitation of more dying, less trying, even though it was with hesitation, has led to some of the fruitfulness that I'm seeing in my personal life today and also in ministering to others. If I were to sum up in one word the transformative work that Jesus has done in my life and continues to do in the last 5 years, it would be freedom. And some of the ways that freedom shows up in my life is just having more peace and joy, having a stronger desire to obey God and to do His will, having more compassion for others, and just more detachment that has created room in my soul for more of the presence of God. Also, my friendship with Jesus has really blossomed in a way that I never thought was possible. I mean, the Bible says Jesus is your friend, yes. I know what it is for someone to be a good friend to me. I just never thought I could have that kind of friendship with Jesus. If you ask Jesus, he'll tell you that Aisha is his friend. You notice I didn't really have a title for my talk, but I have a suggested title. And I've said it more than a few times. Can you guys guess? More dying. I like the way you say it. Can you say it a little louder? Amen. You know, a spiritual practice that has been instrumental to the healing work that Jesus continues to do in my life is silence. And honestly, this is not a spiritual discipline that I naturally gravitate towards. Silence for me is a practice of surrendering myself to God and allowing Him to probe into those areas of my life that I tend to be protective of and tend to want to hide from Him. In silence, I am consenting to God to do what He needs to do in me. Silence is very hard on the false self, but it is where the true self emerges and thrives. Philosopher and author Dallas Wheeler, this is what he said: "But silence is frightening because it strips us as nothing else does, throwing us upon the stark realities of our life. It reminds us of death, which will cut us off from this world and leave only us and God." You know, I know from personal experience that there's something about silence that makes us uncomfortable because it has a way of bringing up deep-rooted, deep-seated emotions, and we don't know what's going to come up when you're just in that space of silence. But in closing, I would like to invite you to just practice 2 minutes of silence with me. I'm not trying to hold you hostage, but I would prefer if there's just no movement around. It's just for 2 minutes. I promise you, only 2 minutes. Don't overthink it. Just pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is going to bring up for you. So I'm going to invite you now to just close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing that. Lord, help us to hear what you're saying to us. Meet us at the point of our resistance, Lord. Lord, in our time, in our day, come and move in this place. Comfort us in areas where we are unsettled. And unsettle us in areas where we have become too comfortable. Challenge us, Lord. Change us for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
There was one part of her talk when I heard it that really leapt out to me that didn't make it in the video. She talked a little bit more about how her cultural background had made it hard for her to face the pain that she had been through in her younger life. And I felt like, that's Minnesota. It's not Kenyan here, it's Norwegian. But I recognize Norwegian coping skills. Maybe step back. And that's in our water. And what we want to do with this series called Changed is offer ourselves to God and have God fix that stuff. And there's a passage in Scripture, it's in the book of Jeremiah, that I love. You can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. Have you ever tried to fix things with someone and they refuse to admit there's a problem and it's literally unfixable? Can you raise your hand if that's ever happened to you? You try to fix something with someone and they say there's no problem and it can't be fixed. Well, you can't fix your own problems if you don't admit that they're there either. It's the same thing. And God wants to fix your problems. God wants to pour healing into your childhood and your young adulthood and the places that you carry of pain with you today. That's what God wants to do. I want to invite the worship team to come forward at this time. I want to invite you to stand. We're in a transition into ministry time. The worship team will lead us in worship, and then we'll have communion. And I had a word from God during first service that I feel like is for this service. I didn't share it first service. So, have you ever held on to something so hard it's like hard to let go? Like your hand, it's like you forget how to let go. I think unforgiveness is like that. And a lot of times when we're hanging on to pain in the past, it's because we don't want to let go. And a lot of times, like the biblical response to the wrongs in our life is letting go. It's to say, God, I give that to you, and I'm going to stop carrying it now, and I'm going to trust you to get whatever revenge or justice or make it right that needs to happen. And I feel like what God's saying to you, if you've been hanging on to something and you haven't been able to let it go, is come get prayer today. Come have somebody bless you to receive God's power to let go of the stuff that you're hanging on to. If you're on the prayer team, could you come forward at this time, please? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to lead us in a prayer in that direction first, just that prayer of letting go. God, here in this room, many of us have learned that it's too painful to look at some of the stuff we've been through. And as a result, we hang on to it and we carry it with us. And we would like to let go and we would like to be healed. And so God, I ask that you would pour your Holy Spirit out right now and that you would give us the strength to open our hands and to give you whatever we've been hanging on to, whatever's been done to us, whatever we've done, whatever it is. We ask, God, that you would give us the strength to let go and lift it up to you, and that you would receive what we have in us. And as we lift up our open hands, God, we want to receive back from you what you have for us. We want to receive the life and the healing and the forgiveness that you offer us through Jesus Christ. And so I bless you in the name of the Almighty Father and Creator to receive a spirit of forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Amen.